You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I'm Liza.
And I'm Kristen.
And together we are the Empowered Caregivers. Today we are here with Linda Fodrini-Johnson, who is an aging expert, family therapist, and author of the book, The Empowered Caregiver, Practical Advice and Emotional Support for Adult Children of Aging Parents. Gotta say, love the name.
Mm-hmm.
She was president of the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers, now called Aging Life Care Association. In addition, she founded Elder Care Services, a full-service care agency in the San Francisco Bay Area that provides care management, home caregiving services, advocacy, counseling, support groups, and education. She was the director of the Dementia Respite Center, one of the first in the San Francisco Bay Area, and pioneered the multi-award-winning early stage of dementia program. She clearly has a lot of experience and wisdom to share with us this evening. Welcome, Linda. It is a privilege to have you with us tonight, and we would love for you to first share a little bit about yourself and your personal experience with caregiving.
Well, I saw my parents struggle taking care of their parents at the same time as having my three younger brothers who weren't easy teenagers to look after. I had gotten married young, and I was out of the house starting my own family at the time my parents were doing this struggle. So a few years into my marriage, I decided to go back to school. And I said, there's got to be a better way than what happened for my parents, looking for resources and not knowing where to turn, having three aging family members all crashing at the same time. And so I started back to school in social work, and did a year's internship with the Area Office on Aging, aging offices throughout the country. And they gave me a job to research geriatric care management. So that was my undergraduate work, independent study, and I fell in love with the career. So it was my parents, and then back to school for me with three little kids. And that was the path I took. It took me a long time to finish my master's degree, but I did it. It took 6 years instead of two.
That's
because
okay.
I had to work and I had three kids and, do an internship. So that's how I got into the field because of my parents' struggles. And most of your listeners probably don't even know what a geriatric care manager is, but it is the navigator for a family in a caregiving crisis. And now I find myself doing a lot of proactivity with older couples that just want a better roadmap. So,
okay. Yeah. That's going to lead into what I was wondering about is on your website, I see that you describe yourself as an aging expert. And I thought that was a really unique way. I've never heard that term. I have also had the experience of caregiving for both of my parents who have passed on. I did long distance caregiving. My brother was the one who was more hands-on. He was a younger brother too. So I can relate to that whole, I'm an older sister, I'm out of the house, you've got to figure this out because I have kids. But, still being the one that might have more of the organizational skills. And definitely I was the bossy one of the family. So when I read that, I thought, wow, we really could have used an aging expert when we went through this journey. So do you mind sharing a little bit more, like a thorough job explaining about what that concept is, what that term means?
Yeah. An aging expert is somebody probably in one of the disciplines of nursing, social work, psychology, or counseling. That's their background.
Okay.
And then they work in the field with older adults and their families. And it's your education. And then it's your experience. With me, because I'm a certified geriatric care manager, that means a testing and a continuing education requirement of 36 hours a year to stay current. So when I'm helping somebody, like if a listener wants to get in contact with me and find an aging expert to help guide them, I'm going to tell them to look for somebody with 5 years experience and an advanced degree and license in one of those fields. So that way it assures the expertise is education and experience based.
Okay, but I guess what I'm familiar with what all those different fields are, and it is great to hear that there is some kind of national accreditation and, you know, somebody holding you all accountable. But what does a day in, day out look like for someone who's an aging expert?
People call me. I had a call just a few hours ago with a daughter in the Midwest, a son in California, a mom in the middle of the country. And where do we move mom? Mom's has dementia. Her sister's burned out taking care of her. What do we do? Do we look in the Midwest? Do we look in California? I'm helping them look at both places and then decide what is best for mom. Where's she going to get her needs met best? And then I'm going to help them find medical, choose an insurance policy that'll be different from what mom has now. Help her orient to the new community, hiring a personal friend to make sure she gets connected to the community and is not dependent on the children. So it encompasses all elements of that person's life.
That's beautiful.
The spiritual, the financial, the housing, the dynamics in the family.
That is wonderful. I mean, I can't think of a family that couldn't benefit from such a service. I mean, this is new to everyone, right? When they're going through it, which kind of leads me to my question. You had said earlier some people reach out in advance, and that is wonderful. You know, there's nothing like being prepared for the future, right? Mm-hmm. So can you speak a little bit on how you help individuals face their own aging process versus helping family caregivers face the aging of their loved ones?
Yeah, I have a class that I've been teaching. It's called Aging with Eyes Wide Opened.
Wow. Okay.
And that covers, again, all the aspects of your life going forward. What are your values? What's important to you? When somebody comes to me in that situation, I want to know that. What's the most important thing to you in your life? What do you value most? And then I'm going to help them get there no matter what happens to them, no matter what illness happens to them. If they love the sea, they could be someplace where they could hear it, smell it, or touch it, right? Mm-hmm. Even if some other deficit is in their life, they can have what they love if we plan for it. So again, I want to know health. I want to know medications they're taking. There, I want to know what activities or what organizations they've been involved in. Spiritually, are they connected? What is it that feeds them spiritually? And that could be nature. It doesn't have to be religion.
Sure.
So you encompass all of that in what I call a roadmap. And it's for now and the future. And it's usually around some legal tools like the Advanced Healthcare Directive and a trust if there is assets, and it definitely a durable power attorney for finance that may be springing, so when there's a need they could have somebody jump in and help them. So it's pretty comprehensive.
It sounds like it. And you said it's a course you teach, so is it something that's live, is it something that's virtual, do you do a blend?
I have been doing that on Zoom in the last 2 years.
Yep. Haven't we all learned how to do a lot more things on Zoom than before?
Yeah, I do a quite a few classes on Zoom, but I love to do that one in person because it's just more of a workshop that way. But yeah, I do it on Zoom.
Where would our listeners find you? Because if you are doing it on Zoom, one of the benefits that we're learning is that people in the Midwest, even though you're in California, I don't know if we said that, Linda's in the Bay Area. And so, you know, you're working with people, though, are here in the Midwest. So obviously people here in the Midwest can take your class. So where can we find you?
on my website, which is my name, Linda Fodrini Johnson, without the hyphen and without a space, just LindaFodriniJohnson.com.
Great, great. And how often do you offer the class?
That class goes about once every maybe 5 months, 6 months. But I have a series of classes for families dealing with dementia that keeps repeating.
Okay.
And I'm curious, what age do you find people typically start thinking about this, or at what age would you encourage people to start thinking about this?
Pre-retirement, probably late 50s, early 60s. If they would think about it then, it's going to make their life better. When you've done the planning, it takes anxiety away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense. And before we go to our break, I'd like to switch back to the whole family caregiver piece, right? Since that's the majority and bulk of our audience. And as we explained to you when we first met you, that we're parents of adult children with disabilities, but we know that family caregivers span the whole range. And so what do you feel like have been some of the other experiences in your profession that have helped you better understand who a family caregiver is and what they need?
Everybody in everybody identified patient. That's what you say in psychology and
sure.
in medicine.
Okay.
But everybody in that person's sphere of influence could be a caregiver.
Right.
So when I do a family meeting, I want everybody there, daughter-in-laws, son-in-laws, I want everybody to have a voice. And maybe you're not doing direct care, but you're part of the care team. It might be just your wisdom. It might be the support you're giving your wife to take care of your adult son. Everybody is part of the team. And we can't do this without a village, basically.
Right, exactly. Well, and it's interesting, as you said that, what popped into my head is, as we had more people involved in our teams, it's your experience, but it's also conversations that you might have had with that person that somebody else who's, you know, their biological child might not have had. So really interesting. I'm really looking forward to coming back after this short break and diving into the book and hearing all about your wisdom in that category. We'll be right back in just a moment where we're talking with Linda Fodrini Johnson.
Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host Kristen and our guest Linda, who is the author of the book The Empowered Caregiver: Practical Advice and Emotional Support for Adult Children of Aging Parents.
I can't wait to dig into this conversation with the woman who stole the name of the book that Liza and I have wanted to write in tribute to our business and show. Just kidding, of course. But in all seriousness, where we found you is we were like, okay, let's just Google our name, right? And you came up and we were excited to see that someone else saw the need to address not just informing caregivers, but also empowering them. So before we get into the content, can you explain why you chose that title?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, because I had a different title when I went to the publishers and that were working with me very closely. And they thought my title was weak and it needed to be stronger. And they said, what do you want to accomplish with your book? I said, well, I want to empower caregivers.
That's great.
Thus the name of the book.
Yeah. Well, it is that easy question of just like, well, what are you trying to do with this business, this book, this radio show? And that's how we came up with it too. We were like, well, we want to empower people. We don't want to just inform them. We want them to be able to take that information and actually feel like it's going to be something they can apply. Yeah. So
exactly. And that's what the book is as well.
And what drove you to write the book?
Well, I've been pushed to write the book for about 15 to 20 years by other professionals that knew me. I do a lot of community teaching, or I did before COVID. Mm-hmm. And they said, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And my clients were saying, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. So I started writing the book 15 years ago. But then as I got close to retirement, it was like, I have a lot of wisdom. I feel like I'd be cheating the public if I retired and died. Where is all this going to go? You know, so it's in a book. And I was just kind of flipping through it today and thinking about when I wrote the do's and don'ts on communicating with somebody with dementia. And it was like, that was back in 1986. I wrote that.
Wow.
And I haven't changed but two words in the entire 10 pieces of wisdom that I share on what's going to make communication work or not work, and that do's and don'ts. And it was like, that feels good that I was able to leave that and give people, empower them. I was just talking to another family, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, I was doing a support group last night. And I said, instead of saying, Mom, would you like to do this? You say, now it's time to do this. It's a slight change that helps you get beyond resistance.
Yep.
When you invite somebody, would you like to do, you're always going to get no.
Exactly.
Not always, but often. 9 times out of 10.
I experienced this with my daughter as well.
Yeah.
I had to learn, I can't ask that, would you like to? No, Mom, I don't want to, you know, go to bed, or I don't want to eat the vegetables. Well, now what do I do?
Well, or then you could, step two would be, what time would you like to eat them?
Oh, I like that. I like that. That's
it,
a good
gives
save.
Gives them some power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And you're more successful.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's great. I know it's low hanging fruit, but if I was listening, I'd be like, well, what are the two words that she had to change?
Well, one is making a lie to a parent. Sometimes you have to do that. And mm-hmm. when I first wrote it, I called it stretching the truth. And my husband, who was my editor at that time, said, you're going to teach people to lie? I said, only if it's to protect self-esteem and reduce stress for that person and for you. Mm-hmm. And now we call it therapeutic fiblets. So I went from stretching the truth to therapeutic fiblets.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I've got, I think, a little bit more time to ask you one question, one more. I read one of the reviews on Amazon. It was a very positive review. And it really went into some detail about how the book was laid out and how much this reviewer appreciated that layout. So instead of me trying to recap that, I thought, well, I'd rather have Linda explain kind of how is the book laid out and is there particular reasons why you did it that way?
I have read lots of books on caregiving and they're full of words, lots and lots of words. I got right down to the issue and I gave you some strategies to deal with that issue and an affirmation to help you remember it.
I like that.
I like that. Yeah.
Every chapter is short, to the point, and you could use it as a reference book or you could read it. It's a very fast read. Yeah.
Would you feel comfortable sharing one?
One of the affirmations?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the young men that read my book, he said, I just kept a list of all the affirmations. Keep the chapters.
Yeah, I know Liza well enough. That's what she wants to do, yeah. Too. And I like to post them, so it is great to hear.
On communicating with physicians, at the end of that one, wait a minute, here it is. Love is doing what is needed, not what is necessarily wanted. Preparing for hospitalizations. I'll give you another one.
Okay, but Linda, say that one more time, just a little bit slower, because it's a good
okay.
one.
Love is doing what is needed, not what is necessarily wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But by you or the other person, love is what's needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's those hard decisions we have to make. And then preparing for hospitalizations, it says, I have the information I need to know to make good decisions, and I know where to find support. You know, an affirmation means you've got the information you need, and you're affirming that to yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
After just reading three or four pages.
And is can you let listeners know where they can go to get a copy of your book?
It's on Amazon, and it's very inexpensive. Yeah,
it's very reasonable. Let's say the title one more time.
The Empowered Caregiver, Practical Advice and Emotional Support for Adult Children of Aging Parents.
Yeah.
But my spousal caregivers love this book, too.
I bet.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, there's so, well, I'm even thinking those affirmations are things I need to start reminding myself again just with Nicole. And we'll talk about maybe some of those parallels when we come back right after this short segment. Excuse me, short break. Thanks.
You're listening to Liza and Kristen with the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we've been talking with Linda Fodrini Johnson. Did I say that right?
Yes.
About her work as an aging expert and author. And actually, if you don't mind, I want to spell that out because that's where people can go to find you and your website. So it's Linda, and last name is Fodrini. Johnson, and if you don't know how to spell Johnson, I can't help you out. Exactly. And in our next segment, what we like to do is we like to ask what we call powerful questions, those that push you to go inward and reflect on your personal experiences and thoughts.
So one of our first ones for you is, what's one of your favorite stories about a caregiver you have met in your work?
Well, it's, you know, I've been doing this for almost 40 years, so there's a lot of favorite stories, but I think of this older gentleman who had to place his wife in a memory care facility, and he came to a support group I was doing, and he'd cry throughout the whole session about how guilty he felt about placing his wife in this facility. Mm. So I'm going to give him a name, Peter. I gave Peter an exercise. I said, Peter, I want you to go home tonight. I want you to write 100 times, Alzheimer's disease put Betty in Happy Valley home. I want you to write that 100 times.
I love it.
Yes.
He came back the next week and he said, I'm cured.
That's excellent. I'm envisioning Bart Simpson from The Simpsons too, writing that.
Oh, yeah.
And I can see this gentleman, Peter. Okay, I've got your message now, Linda, right? But it's a good message. Exactly. I mean, it wasn't him. It was the disease.
It's so. Kind of that love is doing what is needed stuff. He couldn't do it anymore because of his age. And she needed 24/7 supervision, and he just couldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah, I just posted a really good article by Barry Jacobs on our Facebook page that kind of went in more detail about men and their role in caregiving in specifically dementia. So really interesting. And I'm so grateful that you were able to help him out, and I'm sure that you were proud of that, and there's many other opportunities that you're proud of. What's one that you'd like to share?
I think it's probably starting the early stage Alzheimer group. When you have younger people, since you have adult children that have disabilities, there's sometimes no place for them socially, mm-hmm. no place fit. And I'm a social worker, I'm a problem finder. I connect people to resources. So when there was no resource to this woman who sits down, she's probably in her 50s with dementia, crying that she's disappointing her husband, that she can't be the wife that she wants to be. And there's no friends that want her to go to lunch anymore. And she's able to articulate that, but not as clearly as I just did, but she was able to articulate that with me. So I went back to the respite program that I was running for people with dementia. And I said, we need to start a program for people in the early stages of dementia. So we created these two programs. One, the one for women was called the club, and the one for men was called the company.
Ooh. Oh.
And men would go to the company, and the women loved the club. They talked about their feelings. They went on docent tours. Because remember, they're early, they're younger.
Right.
They don't want to be with 80-year-olds. There was no place for them. Mm-hmm. So I was able to create that, start it, and get it launched. And it became an award-winning program.
That's excellent. And do you know if it's spread beyond the Bay Area? It
has spread throughout the country. But the one I was involved in is no longer in existence. That's mm-hmm. how it is with things sometimes. It's sad, but maybe somebody in your sphere of listeners wants to start something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved how you also framed it as part of your social work, right? Because that is actually what social work is. As you said that, I thought, oh, that's right. It's seeing the problems and finding some solutions to make society work and make us all, we're social creatures, make us all have a place where we can go.
When you can't find it, then you have to build it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, I also have to hope that, yes, even though what the one that you actually built might not still be in existence, that, you know, the spirit of it, the essence of it has spread out and is now in other places. And when it's time for it to be back in your community, someone will lift that up again.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know why you do this work. You're doing this work because you're good at it. And it really feels good for us to do things we're good at. I mean, to be as committed as you are, to do the extras that I hear that you're doing, to personalize it, it just is a sign of a person who's a true professional and really serving her purpose on this planet. And so first of all, I just want to thank you for that, right? Thank you for taking all of your time and energy and putting that wisdom, like you said, into a book before you retire and leave this planet, right? So I appreciate that. But what do you think that you've learned? So like we said, this is a powerful question. So what has Linda learned from doing this work?
That life is not predictable. We only have the present.
Isn't that the future?
The future isn't promised to us. Live every day the best I can. Find a way to be a giver every day. Make gratitude part of every morning. I'm grateful for things in my life, even though I had a major loss. I'm grateful for the 36 years of having my husband at my side. I'm sad he's not, but I'm grateful to be grateful for what was.
Exactly.
And to be grateful in this day. To be grateful for you too, for doing this program, and anyone else who wants to lift up caregivers. I think they're not lifted up enough in our society. They're hidden. They're working 24/7 around the clock to support a family member that might not be very appreciative of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is one of the main reasons why we are doing this, to raise that level of awareness, you know, that there are people that are going off to work and doing a full-time job and then coming home and doing another full-time job. And it's hard, and it can be an emotional roller coaster. And I love the wisdom that you shared about, you know, how to stay positive and give gratitude and be thankful. But there's got to be times where you can get lost in the sadness of your work. And what do you do to prevent that? Or how can you suggest to our listeners the best way to manage the sadness that comes with, you know, aging ourselves and watching the ones that we love age?
I think there's another exercise that I've done and taught people to do is, in this day, what was the greatest thing I'm most thankful for this day? It was a really bad day. It might be a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. It might be that I just got a shower that day.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for. And the next day it was just a beautiful day. Everything was going right. I think that if you find in every day something to be grateful for, you won't get caught up in the sadness. Sadness is part of my work and it's part of our lives. Our lives come to an end. Those that we love, lives will come to an end. But if we get too far ahead of ourselves, we can't be in the present moment. And I took this long walk, and on my long walk to get up to the top of hills, I had to stay in the present moment. And what I said to myself is, the path is flat, the world is round.
Mm. Wow. I like that.
I love that.
I created that to get myself up to those tops of those hills. And I think we need to, as individuals, each create something that helps us stay in the present moment and not get focused on that hard top of the hill.
Exactly. And I would challenge people to try it. Sometimes when things are so easy, people think that can't work or that doesn't work or how could that possibly work? Give gratitude. Think of something, you know, that went well. That doesn't mean, you know, can't be that easy. Well, try it. Do it. Because it is. And you know what? There has been bad days where I have taken a walk where I say, okay, I need to find 10 things on this walk that bring me joy. And wow. I, you know, look at the beautiful clouds and the colors of the trees. And by the end of the walk, lo and behold, I am in a much better mood and am able to process things in a more positive fashion. So sometimes the easy things work.
Yeah, they definitely do. So how do we take those lessons and what do you wish for how we can get these lessons or even maybe more practical things out to the people that have power in our society, right? Government leaders, employers, minister, you know, anybody who's in a powerful position or a decision-making position. What do you think or what do you wish that they understood or could do to support your clients and their family caregivers?
One of the things I'd love that if somehow Social Security or Medicare would pay for an hour with somebody like me, an expert, just get people on the right track. People are so overwhelmed by not knowing where to go or where to start. That's all I want them to be able to find somebody to get them on the right path.
I love it.
Once they're on the right path, then things would be better. And, you know, when I started my career, you know, 40 years ago, the Area Office on Aging, senior information was much more vibrant than it is today throughout the country.
That's interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting. And it needs to be, it's kind of like the COVID stuff, get your vaccination. If you don't keep it in front of politicians or whoever, it just seems to fly away, like it's not an issue anymore.
Right.
It's more of an issue because the baby boomers are aging.
Exactly.
That's a big group of a big population.
Right. That's why I'm surprised. Do you have any sense of why it's kind of slipped away?
I don't know. It's money. I mean, yeah. I went to Congress and there used to be an Office of Aging in the U.S. Congress, you know, a department. No longer. It's no longer there.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, and then it starts to show you the priorities. Right. And if you can't do it up at the top, it's not going to trickle down. If we don't do it at the bottom, it's not going to rise up. Right. So we've got to do something in between soon so that we can get this caregiving crisis out before, you know, in the forefront of things so that people do understand it and make some changes.
And that's definitely something that we want to spend some time on the show with guests and some of the lawmakers down the road doing some of that advocacy work, because that makes zero sense with the baby boomer population aging and everyone living longer that we would cut resources to those programs. So before we go to break, we always like to ask, what are three things that you would like to say to all family caregivers?
Number one, you're not alone. So seek out support, a support group. If you don't have one, start one.
That's great. Good point.
Second point, self-care. Don't ignore your own health or your own interests. If you love to golf or you love to walk or love to collect rocks, continue to do that. Find a sitter, find a way, take your family member that has a disability with you while you do it. Don't stop doing what you've always loved. And the third one is, I think it's more of a spiritual one. Find mindfulness activity, whether it's prayer or yoga or meditation or listening to, I have Alexa, I just tell her to play spa music. Play the station spa, Alexa.
Love it.
And she relaxes me. Mm-hmm. So again, those are the three things.
That's beautiful. Linda, we're running out of time, and I know I could talk to you for a whole nother hour. I really appreciate you giving us this time and attention. I appreciate all the work you're doing. I know that you're facing some of your own personal struggles, as you said. And so our thoughts go out to you. You're going to stay in our heart. Let's let listeners know one more time. It's Linda Fodrini, F-O-D-R-I-N-I, Johnson.com, right?
Yes.
Yes. And the Empowered Caregiver can be purchased on Amazon. Take care, Linda.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Liza and Kristen. This is our last segment, and we want to take a few moments to talk about what a great conversation we just had with our guest, Linda Fodrini Johnson. What stood out for you, Liza?
Gosh, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about dementia a lot. I don't know why. It kind of scares me. Like, is there a reason why this is popping up in my head all the time? But probably the gratitude part, because as I've been thinking about dementia and reading more because of this show, the sadness, you know, I don't know what it would feel like to deal with that daily sadness, to have someone that you've known and loved and had conversations with and this relationship with deteriorate in front of you to the point where they don't know who you are. How do you prepare for that?
Right. I don't think you can prepare.
No.
I think Linda really hit the nail on the head when she was describing that walk, and she was saying the past is back there. And so it's like whatever you did to prepare isn't necessarily going to work when it's actually in your face.
Right.
Right. So many times when somebody says that to me about living in the present, I think because I am someone who's always future tripping, as my sister-in-law would call it, I'm always worried about or thinking about. So when someone says live in the present, it's like, oh yeah, I've got to live in the present so that I'm not getting caught up in the future. But it also is a good reminder about not getting hung up on the past.
Right.
And so if you prepare for someone that you love getting dementia and then it doesn't play out that way, then I don't mean that they wouldn't get dementia,
right,
but I
right.
don't think you can prepare for that, I guess is essentially what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about for you?
It was surprising. I mean, there's so many different things, right? She was really fascinating, and she has a very gentle, I wish we were doing a TV show so people could have seen her. She's just a very beautiful, peaceful woman that just radiates that, right?
Right.
So I really was impacted by that. But then when she talked about her third piece of advice being find that mindfulness moment, whether it's prayer or not, and I realized I have been doing some type of mindfulness that I didn't even realize I was doing for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. I will stop when I'm in nature and I will take 2-minute videos and I have a whole little system that I do, and I like, you know, kind of stay in my focal point, and then I'll move to the right and then I'll move to the left, and depending on where I am, I might go up and down, and I really stop it at 2 minutes. And it was because I wanted to be able to use them as starters in my class. Never got organized to take them from my phone to my classroom. And then I realized today, because I always beat myself up about that, and I realized today as I was taking the 2 minutes of the waving grasses that are on Highway M and the waving grasses and the beautiful red tree in the background, I thought, you know what, it doesn't even matter if nobody else sees this, because what it does for me is puts me into nature for 2 minutes, and it's just quiet and I don't think about anything except what I'm looking at.
Right.
And so it's just it stood out to me as just a really good reminder that mindfulness isn't, it doesn't have to be this big chore.
Right.
Just like gratitude doesn't. right? And all of these things that people keep telling us, they are so simple, yet they seem too simplistic. But when I find that I'm actually doing them, I'm feeling better.
Exactly. And in fact, in some cases, I think shorter is better. You know, when I try to take that mental break, if I give myself too much time, reality creeps in, right? Like, yep. Oh my gosh, stop it. I've got to do this and this and this. So just taking that pause enough to be grateful and, you know, take a deep breath in, relax my body and go on to the next task is really all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you hope listeners got from the conversation from Linda?
Just the knowledge that, you know, aging experts are out there, and what a valuable resource to have that support and that roadmap, like she says, to go through that, because that is a big problem in caregiving, right? We don't have training. We don't know what's going to happen next or what we should be doing or what the resources are. So just knowing that there are people out there. And I love the idea of creating a plan before it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I loved when she said, if there isn't a support group, start one. Right. And I was like, oh, that's right. I mean, it's as simple as, well, I keep saying things are simple tonight. It's not simple, but I'm hearing this could be something that people are listening to and say, that might be a good career for my niece, right? Or, right. And it's like, yeah, they're out there, but they're not a lot of them. And it would be a hard job to get paid. So those of you that might have some paths to Congress and the legislators, getting Social Security or Medicaid to pay for 1 hour when you have a certain diagnosis of aging experts,
right,
for you and your family caregivers, the investment in that would bring back so much bang for the taxpayer's buck.
Right.
And so I hope just hearing this and spreading this word gets more momentum.
I couldn't agree more, because it's going to take, you know, people like us that are willing to get out and grab a microphone and say, hey, hello, we need to make changes.
Exactly.
And it's going to get worse on society, not better. As I mentioned, the baby boomer population and people are living longer. So we really got to start thinking about how do we create these support networks and get things in place so people are prepared?
Exactly. And so we want to let any of you listeners out there know that if you are interested in our work and would like to support us in doing more education, awareness building, and advocacy, we are looking for sponsors of the Empowered Caregiver Show and business. We just acquired a fiscal sponsor so we can run as a nonprofit project. Shout out to the Center for Community Stewardship. I'm going to say that again because they are such a cool local Dane County resource. Center for Community Stewardship. They are our fiscal agent and they're a great organization. They're supporting all kinds of socially responsible projects in our area. And so we just want you to know that we need help too.
Yeah. So any donation, sponsorship, easy for me to say, would be tax deductible. And if you're interested, you can find us on the empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
And we are getting revved up for Family Caregiver Month. I didn't know this until I started doing some research, but November was designated as the National Family Caregiver Month back in the 90s by President Clinton. And apparently every president has to re-announce this. I didn't realize this, but I was looking at each president is announcing it's National Family Caregiver Month. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess you must have to do that. But Biden did it for us. So nice. Next month is the National Family Caregiver Month. And we would like to celebrate family caregivers in November. And what we need from you is some insight.
Yes. So if you know of great family caregivers that are out there, as well as some amazing organizations and the work that they're doing to support family caregivers, let us know. Let's celebrate them.
Yep.
So give us find us on our Facebook page or on our website, empoweredcaregivercommunity.com, and share your story.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye.